It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today we continue our study in the book of Ephesians, and we're looking at chapter 4 and verse 27. It says there, "Neither give place to the devil." Now we're getting ready to leave this verse, and let me go back to our beginning where I said, I quoted that verse and said, "Neither give place to the devil." Well, why should we not give place to the devil? In other words, give him room to stand. It's because your adversary will strive to influence your mind, and he will irritate your spirit. Watch and pray that he does not get the superiority over you. And do not give the devil room to stand. Don't give into his many temptations of promising things that are pleasing to the flesh. Now, we might also say that there is a representation of the devil in one who falsely accuses. In other words, a talebearer, a whisperer, a backbiter, someone who causes trouble. I'm not saying that they're the devil, but I'm saying that they can be greatly influenced by the devil. And we should not fall into that trap. Say people can fall into that, but we should never give place to the devil. Remember, Paul the Apostle is talking to saved people here. He says, don't give the devil room to stand. Don't give in to his tricks. And we talked about how many things that the devil can do, what he can do, and actually what he cannot do. And we left off last time, and I want to look at that again, that he cannot cause the soul of a saved person to go to hell. So many people today are confused about this. So many people today don't have rest in their souls. Well, let me remind you that Jesus said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." He gives rest that no one else can give. The greatest rest that anyone can give is that rest of the soul, of the knowledge of knowing that you're on their way to heaven. And Jesus gives that peace that passes all understanding. Well, the devil cannot cause the soul of a saved person to go to hell. He cannot take eternal life from a saved person. Remember, that word eternal means eternal. It doesn't mean today it's gone or tomorrow it's gone. It means eternal. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29 says, "And I," that's Jesus, "and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Remember, any man, that would be you, any person, man, woman, or boy or girl, any person, nobody will be able to pluck you out of God's hand. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." We're not only in the hand of Jesus, we're in the hand of God. He has us secure. There's no way that once you're saved, that you're going to lose your salvation. Romans 8, 37 through 39 says this, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature." Now, he's named everything here. Jesus named everything that we need to know. And Paul the Apostle is writing it down for us here, and he's telling us about these things, that no one or no thing can separate us from Christ. It says, "Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The love of God sent Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross of Calvary. You remember that? He loved us so much, he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life, never ending. It's never going to stop. And by the way, your eternal life is right now if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait until this body gives up the breath of life or you go to be with the Lord in the rapture of the church. You don't have to wait because right now you have eternal life. It's never going to end. No, this old body's going to die, but the real you will never die because you have eternal life, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Take heart today, Christian, that you have eternal life and God loves you. He loved you so much that Jesus gave his life for you. God sent his Son for you. And you need to take heart today that he loved you so much that he saved your soul. Well, we look on now in verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more." Now, this is something odd, isn't it? Paul the Apostle here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking, I believe, to save people in the church. He says, "Let him that stole steal no more." Does this mean that they were stealing? Well, he says, "But rather let him labor." In other words, work. "Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." In other words, don't be going around doing something wrong and stealing, but do something good. Do that which is good. Notice the term here now in the first part of that verse, "Let him that stole steal no more." We see the theft, like lying, was and is universal and is the result of what? Sin. And the practice of stealing prevails in probably every community around the world. And therefore, as the Christian converts, things happen within that Christian that changes and that lets us know when things are wrong. And therefore, as the Christian converts at Ephesus had been long addicted to stealing, I believe, there was danger that they would fall into it again. Therefore, the necessity of special cautions were needed as an alert to the church at Ephesus. I once talked to a person from a foreign country. We got to talking about stealing. We were standing next to my automobile, and I asked him, I said, "What does your country consider stealing? What do the people there consider stealing to be?" He said, "Well, I'll give you an example." He said, "If you have in your glove compartment something that you know that is worth stealing or something there," and he said, "if I would open that glove box up, that glove compartment, and get in there and take something out, that's stealing." He said, "But on the other hand, if I look in your automobile and the window is down and there's something laying on your seat in plain sight, and I take that, I reach in and take what is there on that seat, that is not stealing in my country." Well, folks, I got news for you. That's stealing. Stealing is stealing. Taking something that does not belong to you. But this person said that's the way their country believed, that was the law of their country. But God says you're not to steal. Let him that stole steal no more. We should not suppose that stealing, once again, as we look at this church, we shouldn't suppose that stealing was a common vice in the church. In other words, it wasn't something that was possibly going on there that was common. But the warnings on this point is the principle that where a man has been for a long time in the habit of a particular sin, not only stealing but any sin, he is in great danger of falling into it again. This is a warning to all of us that if there's something that is dominating your life, some sin that's dominating you, God's warning us here. And this is the reason the warning is given to the man or woman who has been lacking in self-control against the least indulgence of sin. Once again, the example of stealing. And the objective of Paul was to show that the gospel entreated Christians at Ephesus in a special manner to avoid the vices of whom? The unsaved. Now, just as Paul was talking to these people at Ephesus, in the church at Ephesus, we too are being talked to today that we're not to act and look and even be like the unsaved today. That doesn't mean that we stay away from them, because if we stayed away, we couldn't witness to them. But we don't have to be like them. We don't have to look like them. We don't have to act like them. And especially doing things such as stealing or cheating in any way, shape, or form. We're not to do that. That's what the unsaved people. Now, there's some who do not do that. I understand that. They may be doing it for different reasons. Maybe they think they're going to go to heaven by just trying to be good. I don't know. But the saved people are to stay away from these things. We're not to do them. Now notice that Paul the Apostle says, "Let him that stole steal no more." You see, instead of stealing, Paul continues on. He says, "But rather let him labor." A person is to look for the means of living in an honest manner by his own hard work, rather than wrongdoing to others. Well, how to labor? Paul continues. He tells us, working with your hands. This is pursuing some honest employment. And Paul was not ashamed to labor with his own hands. And we read about this in the Corinthians 4, 11 and 12, where it says, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Now, Paul says, no matter what we're going through, there's one thing that I want to call your attention to. There's one thing, with all these things going on in Paul's life and those who are working with him, he says, and we labor, working with our own hands. Paul the Apostle was willing to work. He was willing to do manual labor to survive. And that's the way people need to be today. We need to keep in mind that God has placed us here to take care of his property. This world is his property. And we need to take care of his property. And the way we do that is to use our heads, to use common sense. We are to take care of his economy. In other words, we're to do the things the way he wants them to be done. And so many times we look around today and we see that things are not being done according to the way God wants it done. And we think, especially today, as we look into our country, how that things have going from it's going from bad to worse at this point, and something needs to be done. We look around, we say, "Oh God, how long? We need to see something happen, Lord." Well, let me say that we need to take action. We need to do what we can do as citizens of the United States to turn our country back to God. And the way we do that is to turn people to God. Now, we can't save them, but we can turn them and point them in the right direction. We can help them know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We can tell them that Jesus saves. We can tell them that if they'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as Lord and Savior, that one day they're going to be in heaven and they will escape the eternal death of the lake of fire. But Paul the Apostle says that we can do certain things, and one of those certain things that we should not do is stealing. Now, people steal in different ways and different manners, but it makes no difference. And I've mentioned in an earlier study that sin is sin, and it makes no difference in the sin. God wants to cleanse from all sin. God sent his Son into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. If you've never trusted him, he's speaking to your heart right now, because the Bible teaches us that the heart is where the Word of God goes. That means the innermost being of a person. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe that can be taken in different ways about the confession with the mouth. I believe that God wants us to confess our feelings to him, our sorrow for our sin to him, our knowing that we can't save ourselves. Lord, come into my heart. I can't save myself. Please save me so that I can go to heaven. Admit that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. Admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Admit that Jesus Christ can save you today, and that if you'll trust him as your Lord and Savior, he will save you. Ask him to come into your heart right now. God will save you right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.